"You didn't try out last year, did you?" asked Harry, taking note of the breadth of McLagan and thinking that he would probably block all three goal hoops without even moving.
"I was in the hospital wing when they held the trials," said McLagan with something of a swagger. "Ate a pound of doxy eggs for a bet."
"Right," said Harry. "Well, if you wait over there..." He pointed over to the edge of the pitch, close to where Hermione was sitting. He thought he saw a flicker of annoyance pass over McLagan's face and wondered whether McLagan expected preferential treatment because they were both old Sluggy's favourites. Harry decided to start with a basic test, asking all applicants for the team to divide into groups of 10 and fly once around the pitch. This was a good decision. The first 10 was made up of first years, and it could not have been plainer that they had hardly ever flown before. Only one boy managed to remain airborne for more than a few seconds, and he was so surprised he promptly crashed into one of the goalposts. The second group was comprised of 10 of the silliest girls Harry had ever encountered, who, when he blew his whistle, merely fell about giggling and clutching one another. Romilda Vane was amongst them. When he told them to leave the pitch, they did so quite cheerfully and went to sit in the stands to heckle everyone else. The third group had a pile-up halfway around the pitch. Most of the fourth group had come without broomsticks. The fifth group were Hufflepuffs.
"If there's anyone else here who's not from Gryffindor," roared Harry, who was starting to get seriously annoyed, "leave now, please!"
There was a pause, then a couple of little Ravenclaws went sprinting off the pitch, snorting with laughter. After 2 hours, many complaints and several tantrums, one involving a crashed Comet 260 and several broken teeth, Harry had found himself three chasers. Katie Bell returned to the team after an excellent trial, a new find called Demelza Robbins, who was particularly good at dodging bludgers, and Ginny Weasley, who had outflown all the competition and scored 17 goals to boot. Pleased though he was with his choices, Harry had also shouted himself hoarse at the many complainers and was now enduring a similar battle with the rejected beaters.
"That's my final decision, and if you don't get out of the way for the keepers, I'll hex you," he bellowed.
Neither of his chosen beaters had the old brilliance of Fred and George, but he was still reasonably pleased with them. Jimmy Peaks, a short but broad-chested third-year boy who had managed to raise a lump the size of an egg on the back of Harry's head with a ferociously hit bludger, and Richie Coote, who looked weedy but aimed well. They now joined Katie, Demelza, and Ginny in the stands to watch the selection of their last team member. Harry had deliberately left the trial of the keepers until last, hoping for an emptier stadium and less pressure on all concerned. Unfortunately, however, all the rejected players and a number of people who had come down to watch after a lengthy breakfast had joined the crowd by now, so that it was larger than ever. As each keeper flew up to the goal hoops, the crowd roared and jeered in equal measure. Harry glanced over at Ron, who had always had a problem with nerves. Harry had hoped that winning their final match last term might have cured it, but apparently not. Ron was a delicate shade of green. None of the first five applicants saved more than 2 goals apiece. To Harry's great disappointment, Cormac McLagan saved 4 penalties out of 5. On the last one, however, he shot off in completely the wrong direction. The crowd laughed and booed, and McLagan returned to the ground, grinding his teeth. Ron looked ready to pass out as he mounted his clean sweep 11.
"Good luck!" cried a voice from the stands.
Harry looked around, expecting to see Hermione, but it was Lavender Brown. He would have quite liked to have hidden his face in his hands, as she did a moment later, but thought that as the captain he ought to show slightly more grit, and so turned to watch Ron do his trial. Yet he need not have worried. Ron saved 5 penalties in a row. Delighted and resisting joining in the cheers of the crowd with difficulty, Harry turned to McLagan to tell him that, most unfortunately, Ron had beaten him, only to find McLagan's red face inches from his own. He stepped back hastily.
"His sister didn't really try," said McLagan menacingly.
There was a vein pulsing in his temple, like the one Harry had often admired in Uncle Vernon's.
"She gave him an easy save."
"Rubbish," said Harry coldly,
That was the one he nearly missed. McLagan took a step nearer Harry, who stood his ground this time. Give me another go.
No, said Harry. You've had your go. You saved four. Ron saved five. Ron's keeper. He won it fair and square. Get out of my way.
He thought for a moment that McLagan might punch him, but he contented himself with an ugly grimace and stormed away, growling what sounded like threats to thin air. Harry turned around to find his new team beaming at him.
Well done, he croaked. You flew really well. You did brilliantly, Ron.
This time it really was Hermione running toward them from the stands. Harry saw Lavender walking off the pitch, arm in arm with Parvati, a rather grumpy expression on her face. Ron looked extremely pleased with himself and even taller than usual as he grinned at the team and at Hermione. After fixing the time of their first full practice for the following Thursday, Harry, Ron and Hermione bade goodbye to the rest of the team and headed off toward Hagrid's. A watery sun was trying to break through the clouds now, and it had stopped drizzling at last. Harry felt extremely hungry. He hoped there would be something to eat at Hagrid's.
I thought I was going to miss that fourth penalty, Ron was saying happily. Tricky shot from Demelza, did you see? Had a bit of spin on it. Yes, yes, you were magnificent, said Hermione, looking amused. I was better than that McLagan anyway, said Ron in a highly satisfied voice. Did you see him lumbering off in the wrong direction on his fifth? Looked like he'd been confounded.
To Harry's surprise, Hermione turned a very deep shade of pink at these words. Ron noticed nothing. He was too busy describing each of his other penalties in loving detail. The great grey hippogriff Buckbeak was tethered in front of Hagrid's cabin. He clicked his razor-sharp beak at their approach and turned his huge head toward them.
Oh, dear, said Hermione nervously. He's still a bit scary, isn't he? Come off it! You've ridden him, haven't you? Said Ron.
Harry stepped forward and bowed low to the hippogriff without breaking eye contact or blinking. After a few seconds, Buckbeak sank into a bow, too.
How are you?
Harry asked him in a low voice, moving forward to stroke the feathery head.
Missing him? But you're okay here with Hagrid, aren't you?
Oi! Said a loud voice.
Hagrid had come striding around the corner of his cabin wearing a large flowery apron and carrying a sack of potatoes. His enormous boarhound Fang was at his heels. Fang gave a booming bark and bounded forward.
Get away from him! He'll have your finger... Oh, it's you lot.
Fang was jumping up at Hermione and Ron, attempting to lick their ears. Hagrid stood and looked at them all for a split second, then turned and strode into his cabin, slamming the door behind him.
Oh, dear, said Hermione, looking stricken. Don't worry about it, said Harry grimly.
He walked over to the door and knocked loudly.